Well, just for some opening thoughts here for this meeting, this morning, I just want to read. I'm open at 2 Peter 2. I want to read that. I got to there kind of feeling like a little bit like Jude. If I understand the book of Jude right, he says in Jude, it says, "Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. But it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lawlessness." I think it's just, would you good to understand and to be warned by things of the past that began good and ended up bad. There's a proverb. Proverb 26 that says what Peter then quotes at, or yeah, reads at the very end of this chapter. "The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to the wallowing of her mire." And that comes from Proverbs 26. But my encouragement this morning is that we would turn that around into what it says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. It says that better is the ending of a thing than the beginning. And I think that's kind of what we're supposed to bring before the Lord is that the end of our life would be a better thing than the beginning. That's why it's such an abhorrible thing to Him if our first love dies out. And so on. I'll get to read some of those verses in Revelation as well. All right, 2 Peter chapter 2. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with clever words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angel that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The donkey, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophets. These are wells without waters, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of the darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage. For if they after escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcame the latter end and overcome. The latter end is worse to them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. What I just think of when I read these verses or this chapter is just how that we're just so much without excuse. Like to this day, we have so much history, rich history of warning. Like that, and that's behind us, but it's still there for us to kind of reflect on, and it should just keep us in a place where we just stay far from that. I wanted to share an account I had when I was out witnessing preaching the other night in Fayetteville. A man that I had also met at the university just the week before really got me to thinking about how things can be. He had a testimony that was, at the time it was kind of short or shallow of some things that I believe should involve a testimony. But then I meet him there on the streets, Dixon Street in Fayetteville, and you'd have to like see how it was to feel the utter disappointment when I saw him. We could hardly have a conversation because of the noise of the street. And he was with a crowd, even though he himself wasn't dressed like them, and he was quick to point that out to me, like he's not like them. He's kind of just, he's about to graduate with these guys and gals, and should it be okay just one more time to go out and be the guy to look out for him. And he was just making a lot of excuses to be with him. And as our conversation went on, he was kind of, I think he was kind of convicted to see us. He stayed there and the rest of his group kept going, and I really tried to persuade him that he can just go tell them not to go in there. He doesn't plan to go in there. And it's not a good place to be. What if the Lord comes back right now? And he was really considering it. I think he was considering it. And he said he knows. Then he told me that he knows there's a fence on these things, and he knows that that there's a place where it'd be too far to do that. What I told him was that the devil owns the fence. And I think that kind of got his attention, where he was considering more not to go in there. But after that, I had to ponder on that. That's how it is. The devil owns the fence. Like, and so how close do you want to get to that fence? And that's what I think when I read this is like, this is such utter wickedness that Peter's talking about in a lot of different ways. People turning. Turning to uncleanness and after the lust of the flesh and all those things. And anyhow, that's a little bit of that. I wanted to just kind of bring to attention how I think our lives should be more and more brought into perfection. I think that's kind of the goal of things. That's kind of the ultimate of how I understand what God wants for us. I'm really encouraged in how the book of Hebrews, 13 times or more, it uses the word better. And it's just on and on in Hebrews, you find that, you know, better promises, better covenant, better sacrifices, better lawgiver, all those things are just, that's what I get when I read Hebrews. And that's what I think God wants. One thing I want to also point that out, and then also the fact how it's just often not that way. It's just often sad in that it's different. You know, even individuals that we know of that, you know, they come and they go, and they're not doing good, and we know they're not doing good. They know they're not doing good. How did it happen? Think of like the church in Acts, and how that they were together, they were bold. The people, they didn't just say, "Yeah, we're bold, and we want to be bold. Let's strive to be bold." The people said they were bold. They perceived the high council, and the people perceived the boldness of Peter and John and the apostles, and they were like, "Ooh, what would we do? These guys are just so bold. They couldn't hardly handle them." So he just warned them and let them go. And now, not many generations, we have the account of Revelation, the churches that were out and about. This was the baby church in Jerusalem. This was the apostles that had direct contact with the Lord, and they were just so much on fire. But now that the churches out and about had to be told some of these really hard things. And I'm just going to read chapter 2 of Revelation, just to kind of get some of that. "Unto the church, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and how that thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, hath patience, for my name's sake hath labored, and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestand out of his place, except thou repent." But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. That's in parentheses. And I know the blaspheme of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which has a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. To the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith, and thy patience, thy works, and the last thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit fornication with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put unto you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then, of course, that was for the churches, three more. And you got Sardis. And they were called to repentance because their works were not found perfect before the Lord. Philadelphia, nothing really direct as far as repentance, just general encouragements. And then Laodicea just makes me think of the nations, and especially maybe America, and how it describes it there. But ultimately, I just learned through reading this that the Lord knows everyone's work. And in this case it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold. So what I kind of want to point out in reading that is, it just seems like they were, they had a broad spectrum of things, both good and bad, and I think they were just kind of in a mess in that way, if I can say it that way. They were kind of in a. I don't know. He's speaking to something that we don't really know the before and the after that much. I don't anyhow. But it seems like somehow things that we read there in Peter had crept in, or things that, like Paul told the Ephesians elders that, you know, after his departure, grievous wolves would come in, and it seems to me like some of those things were happening. There was still a church, you know, with some of the beginning type of good things there, but there was too much. Too much bad there. There had to be a direct rebuke made. They were too. Maybe you could say they were too. Their latter glory wasn't going to be better. It was projecting towards the worst. It wasn't like the words of the proverb there in Ecclesiastes about that better is the ending of a thing than the beginning. It was projecting towards the worse. Anyhow, this is just an opening. Just want to leave you with some of those thoughts. I think it's really eye-opening if we see the beginning of something, you know, being good, and then it projects towards something bad, and the Spirit of the Lord has to rebuke it. If we see, again, like the church in Acts being said of them that they were bold, and the people around them were noticing that, and they didn't know what to do with them. Going from there to how we read here in Revelation, how they were kind of like the proverb, the dog returning to its vomit. Not all of them think they were kind of, maybe they were kind of ecumenical, you know, where they had some good, and yet there was just a lot of bad there as well. So I've been reading, and throughout the prophets, where it talks about the building of the house, that's another thing that came to my mind. If I understand, there are a couple of places in the prophets where it talks about the building of the house, and I think it's talking about the house of the new temple that was to be built, how that its glory was to be greater than the previous one. And that's just another example of the trajectory of where things should go. It should be greater. It should be, she should be propelling us to be better, on and on. Like in Hebrews as well, I just find that a very propelling type of chapter, with the many times it talks about things that are better. And that's the hope we should have. That's the place we should be headed. Maybe I'll just read a few more verses in 2 Peter 3. It says, this is then how it continues after the ending of chapter 2. It just goes on to say, "This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what Peter wanted to stir them up with. You know, remembrance of the apostles' words, remembrance of the prophets' words. And I think we do well to do the same thing today. Just remember those words, live by them. Just know that the way of life is narrow, it's difficult, and few there be that find it. And so even though, like, the way gets more narrow, the things get more difficult, we still need to stay committed like that. So, leave it at that. God bless you. Feel free to share comments and corrections.
I wasn't sure about, it's been a long time since I looked into the subject, but does anybody know what the deeds or the actions of the Nicolaitans were? Maybe that was that said? Might have missed it.
The hypothesis is, and flip a coin, is it 50-50? You know, nico means conquer, and latians means laity. Brother Brett would probably say that. It was the conquest of the laity. That is, you know, Catholicism, popes, or just someone who's got a strong iron fist, and you just obey him, whatever he says. And that's one possibility, Rob. Nicolaitans, conquest of the laity. Whether, you know, if that, it's just, is that true or false? It's just one, and whatever it was evil deeds. But if some people look, thank you, Brother Outley. If some people look at God as, you know, someone said, if God had one thought about you today, what would you think? And some people, Christians, would say, disappointment. He's disappointed with me, you know, just disappointed with you. And if you think of God like that, he's kind of mean and evil, and he wants to stomp on you. Ha! You did that sin, and he wants to crush you like a cockroach or something. You're sinning. But God, as Brother Outley read in Revelation, repent. Come out of it. And as you read in 2 Peter about Sodom, and you think of Jesus talked about, it would be more tolerable for you in the day of Sodom. And Paul talks about in Romans about people, they doing unnatural things. And John talks about it in Revelation, later in Revelation 11, Sodom and Egypt. And today we live in a world where people just don't, you might get fired from work if you talk against the sodomites and things. When I worked at Domino's, I had three lesbians and one sodomite in the course of 5 years there. They're very sweet people. I loved them. But the whole point was that they don't understand that it's eternity. Eternal consequences is where they're going if we don't tell them that this is not God's way. And I think deep down in the heart they may know that, but it's just it's accepted today, and we got to not just be idle, and we got to say something, and we'll be persecuted for it if we lose our job or we lose our lives. But it's something that we should put on the armor of God. And one last thing, it's not a thing like that, but I googled up something the other day, and it was on mothers without children, the illegitimacy rate in the world. In this country, it's 40%. 40% of mothers today don't have a husband. So what does that mean? Well, that means poverty and crime, and that's the fruit of that. But in Europe, it's over 50%. And it was strange that the countries that have mothers, next week, I guess I talked to Brother Bryden, and I said, I think next week is Mother's Day, so get ready. Someone will give a thing on Mother's Day. I'm looking at you, Duane. I know Brousseau did it. It's like, always do the thing on Mother's Day. And you gave a great lesson in Mother's Day and Father's Day. But it's imagine over half of the people in Europe don't have a father. But that's the illegitimacy rate. Satan is really on a rampage. And let's just be active. Thank you, Atlee, for going witnessing with Luke the other night. The Lord be magnified.
Bless you, brothers and sisters. That's a good message. When we look at the churches and how Jesus reacted to the churches, it's interesting how the Lord says, you will receive each according to your works. So clearly we see there, we know that God is just, and according to what we do, God is going to react in an equal way to what we do. So if we're very thieving, or, for example, we may have a bunch of things taken away from us. If we are infiltrated by false teachers and present false teachers before us, before ourselves, we may lose wisdom. We may not be able to find the truth or have the blessing of knowledge come to us. So it's interesting how you look at the Laodicean church and how it says in 2 Peter 2 where it talks about there's a greater condemnation for you if you're coming to knowledge of the truth and turn away. That concept that's laid out there and in other areas, it's like saying that the professing Christian that comes to the point becoming a Christian and then turns lukewarm, there's a greater condemnation for that than if you just never knew. And Jesus lays that out against the Pharisees too. They were professing believers, and he had harsher words for them than he did for other people. Because once we know that the truth is there, we have a higher expectation of it. So you see other things like, I would not that many of you become teachers, because you have a greater, you have a greater thing being laid out there for you, expectation. And it's interesting, if you look at the Laodicean church, Jesus didn't have a single good thing. That's to say for them. That was the lukewarm church. He didn't have a single good thing as the only one. And he just went straight to the rebuke. And I think that should touch all of our hearts, pierce all of our hearts, hopefully wake us up to that, to steer us on the right path, because to steer us away from it, because the Bible says, in Hebrews, to exhort one another daily, lest your heart be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin, that we should be out there exhorting each other first before it gets to that point to where we would fall away. But if we don't stand up and say something to each other, then we're, kind of comforting each other toward that place that we can fall, like how the word says, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. so that your what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. And so it's telling you that you can be in a worse condition than you were. And Jesus even said to the man in the pool, at the pool, you know, go and sin no more, when he healed him, lest something worse come upon you. So it's like citing that something could be a worse condition than he was before, just broken how he was. So I think all those things should exhort us and to cause us to, you know, steer away from going into false doctrine or, you know, cowardice or partiality, all these different things that can lean us towards the lukewarm. And just exhort each other and find the unity with each other, but in the truth, not to have unity with darkness. You know, to keep moving towards perfection and, you know, build our faith. And, yeah, so bless you guys today.
Yeah, I'll just point out a verse that stood out to me this morning as Brother Atlee was reading through Revelation to the church in Thyatira. When I was talking about the woman Jezebel, saying that how she called herself a prophetess and taught and seduced God's servants to commit fornication. And verse 21 said, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Anyway, that verse stood out to me, how God gave her space to repent. Like, and I guess it just speaks to God's desire for all to repent, even people that would seem to us to be just very, very bad characters. And so just wanted to share that. And yeah, thanks for the opening. Appreciated it.
Three fine young men in Babylon with faith and courage bold, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who did as they were told. But when an idol wide and high with celebration grand was to be worshipped and adored, they firmly took their stand. We will.
Horses and chariots and a people more than